And welcome to the Patient Patriot Podcast on this, the first day of January 2021.
Oh, wow.
We survived another one. So, for some reason, the intro did not play today, and I have a feeling I know why.
Oh, no.
So, but we're going to revamp that. It's a new year. We're going to have a new intro come next podcast. So, in bringing in the new year, and starting off light.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. We're going to make predictions. Obviously, if you're watching college football right now, the tide is rolling. Okay.
Are you happy about that?
Absolutely, I am.
So not only are you a Michigan fan, you are an... Who is even the Crimson Tide?
Alabama.
So you're an Alabama fan?
Yes.
What the hell's wrong? What, did you get dropped as a kid? Like, what went wrong, Josh?
What? You know, it's...
What about Ohio State? What about Notre Dame?
Oh, you mean Ohio State, the team that can't play a whole season?
What about Notre Dame?
Oh, they're getting throttled. They're getting throttled. I will say this about Notre Dame, okay? I'm going to give them one kudo. Dude, they got an offensive line that's the size of Christmas. They got some horses. That's it.
It amazes me how big, strong, and incredibly athletic college football players are. The speed, and even at the pro level, it's just how they can move so fast always fascinates me. Because, even in my fittest of days, I was never anywhere close to being that kind of lightning fast with that strength and size. Right. It's amazing. So what's your prediction here?
Okay. Ohio State, Clemson.
Okay. Are you asking me live on air?
Yes, I am asking you live on air.
Nobody wants to hear this, but Clemson's going to take it.
You know, I'm going to say this. Clemson's going to throttle Ohio State. And I'll make one more prediction. The team that got left out because they let Ohio State in, because somebody did, regardless of where they're from, somebody's going to take action. I'm not going to say it's going anywhere. But the guy from Texas A&M made a really good comment.
Okay.
Okay. He had an 8-game win streak in the SEC. Some teams in the playoffs didn't play 8 games.
You know, here's the thing, man. When it comes to the playoff system, it's always going to be controversial. And, you know, I'll be the first one to admit I'm not the world's most knowledgeable sports fan. I don't even know that I'm a real sports fan. I do enjoy an occasional college football game or a pro hockey game once in a blue moon. But the way the system is currently set up is always going to lend itself to controversy until they expand it. And even if you expand it, there's still going to be controversy. And I don't know that there's any way to avoid that. But I do know that Ohio State is much like the Republican Party. They hate being number two, but they can't seem to ever be number one. And they don't know what to do when they get to the dance. And Notre Dame's the same way. I love the Irish. You know, I always have, and but they can't seem to get it done either. Well, not since, what, 1989 or somewhere way back. And, you know, at least Ohio State has more recent glory that you can enjoy. But the last handful of years, I mean, they always are solid throughout the season. And then just like back in, when we were in high school, you know, it was all the Florida teams that I love to absolutely hate.
We got some echo.
Oh, no. Thank you for pointing it out.
Yes. Hold on. Let's...
This would be a good time for me to do a song then.
Really?
Yeah, I've been on a Britney Spears kick for about 2 weeks. I've been enjoying the boy bands and some cheese whiz pop.
I wonder why we've got echo, because... Let's see.
My loneliness...
Are they saying that sarcastically, or is there a true echo in the audio?
Reverb.
Reverb. Wonder why we got reverb.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Whoa. Well, while he's playing. Anyway, if you can endure the reverb while he's trying to figure it out, I will say, you know, look, man, I was talking about the Florida teams back when we were in high school in the 90s, and it seemed like no matter how good Ohio State was or any other team that you loved nationwide, man, there was an era of about 10 years there where it was either the Gators, the Hurricanes, or the Seminoles, and you just love to hate on Florida for that reason. And now it's that way with the SEC, and I just love to hate on them. Clemson, you know, that's a mixed bag for me because they are Tigers. We're Maslin Tigers, and especially when they play Tiger Rag, I feel a torn kind of I'm not really sure who to root for when I hear a college team play Tiger Rag, but who knows?
We got
Ohio State's going to get it handed to them.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say I'm going to go as far as to say it's probably going to be like a 38-10 scenario.
I hope not, but we'll see.
And after Alabama beats Clemson, they're going to give Alabama the AFC North. A coworker gave me that line. That's not my own. That's a coworker's line. Matter of fact, he's watching today. So,
well,
anyway.
Obviously, this is not a sports talk radio show, right? Because I would not be in this chair. So we need to talk about some serious stuff. You know, Josh and I, this is quicker than we usually turn around because usually we talk about being back on air within a week or two of our previous podcast, and usually it takes about six more months. And somebody's like, whatever happened to you guys? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we should probably do a podcast. So it's only been a few weeks since we were last together.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've gone through the holidays, and hopefully for you and yours, they were enjoyable. I know I have some friends that have suffered loss through the holidays, unfortunately, and our sympathy and condolences go out to those of you who ended the new year painfully, whether that was the loss of a loved one, the loss of freedom, the loss of finances. It was a challenging year. We're going to talk a little bit about, just in summary, the difficulties that we just escaped from, if you could use that word, because I don't think that it's even appropriate. I don't know that we've escaped. But in the last calendar year anyways, the difficulties we endured. But we're not going to camp there because we spent last year on our podcast talking about that stuff. We're going to do maybe a brief survey of the landscape that we're looking at today as we are just a handful of days from the Electoral College and inauguration. And, you know, it seems to be moving forward. And love it or hate it, and no matter what source of media you're listening to, the results are coming one way or another.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as the infamous Game of Thrones, winter is coming. Well, eventually this wall will be played out and all the challenges will be done and somebody will be seated. And we're on the heels of, with pop culture and what's going on in the world today, on the heels of probably the largest vehicle bombing since Oklahoma City. So maybe we'll even touch on that a little bit. And but more importantly, I think we're going to wrap up today's broadcast with predictions for the coming, well, this year, because we are officially in it today. And we're going to talk about what we see on the horizon. Neither Josh nor I are prophets or sons of prophets, but we're going to talk about, you know, using our own discernment and our, you know, our political wit to try and figure out where some of these important issues to all of us are headed over the next calendar year. And then we'll do an end of year review, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, maybe this time next year, and see how on the nose we were or how radically off or how maybe how badly we underestimated the challenges that were coming. And so with that, why don't we dive in?
Well, let's recap the year.
Okay,
We got COVID, okay?
Yes.
And wherever you're at on the spectrum,
sure,
COVID is affecting your life.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we said it, and this is sort of recapping a prediction we had at the beginning.
Sure.
The response to COVID is far more impactful than the disease itself.
Yeah, and that's a challenge, obviously. You don't ever want the cure to be worse than the disease. You know, you think about cancer, which causes something like 5 million deaths worldwide every year, horrible disease. And sometimes we look at some of the treatments and some of the cures, and they can be absolutely brutal. And there's always a threshold there between how far do you take, whether it's medicine, whether it's systemic kind of rules and regulations or structures or guidelines or new laws, how far do you push these things? And is there a point, was there a tipping point where the cure has now become worse than the initial problem? And I would agree with you. I think we crossed that line quite a while ago.
Oh, boy. So that's COVID. I don't want to dig too deep into that because we've
and everybody's sick of it anyways.
Right.
You know, so we all have our own opinions on it.
Presidential election.
Yeah, man.
I'll go out and say this. Everybody in the United States, because there's something that nobody's talked about yet that I'm aware of. Right. We talk about election fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Everybody acts like that's a one-way street.
Oh no, not at all.
No, nobody has talked about the reason Biden won is because he cheated better than Donald Trump. Nobody's even discussing that. You know, everybody, and that's why I say this. At the end of the day, the American people got exactly what they want. And I always tell people, watch what you wish for, because you're probably going to get it, and then figure out why you didn't want it.
Well, that's the challenge, and it's easy to see when I look at the Old Testament and you look at the rise and fall of the Jewish empire, and you see, you know, as they kind of slip back into, as they go through this cycle of nations, as we've talked about before, kind of you start in bondage, you find liberation, you become prosperous and free, but that leads to decadence and gluttony, which leads to weakness, which leads back into captivity and enslavement. So these cycles happen in nation states, and we're seeing that here. And you end up getting the leadership that you deserve. So I'll leave it with that. You know, it's going to roll out the way it is.
Sure.
And you know, Biden himself, you know, I don't have any ill feelings for him. I certainly don't want to see him physically harmed. I don't have a great love affair for Donald Trump. You know, we're living in fascinating times, brother, and we've talked about that before. I think the bigger issue is how, if we're drilling down just a moment with Biden, because he's going to be seated. We've talked about this ad nauseum before. If you're still holding out, to, you know, this great hope that somehow, you know,
some court's going to step in.
Yeah, there was a battle between special forces and East, you know, Romania over a server, you know, for the votes. And look, man, that's all QAnon goofiness, in my opinion. It's not going to stop. We don't have, even if you believe, which I do, and we've talked about this, even if you believe there was genuine fraud that was big enough to move the election numbers, we don't have the mechanisms in place to unravel it.
Right.
And so it's moving forward, and here's the problem. It's not so much Biden is challenged as he is mentally and health-wise, I think. The bigger issue is when they decide to unseat him due to health issues, or he has a major catastrophic health event, or the left lets him hang for all of his possible criminal misdeeds, which seems to be, the worm seems to be turning on that when you see, you know, mainstream media like CNN actually moving these stories now to kind of maybe cause the shift to happen sooner so that old Kamala is seated. And that's when I think we're really going to have some challenging circumstances. And especially if Georgia falls to the Democrat Party, you're going to see hard left policies. And I have a lot of Democrat family and friends. I love them dearly. And I don't have a whole lot of hatred for the party itself. It's the radicalized left that's going to be the destruction of this country, and I think that's what we'll be shifting to if you see Biden have to be unseated and old Kamala steps in. So but when it comes to fraud, you're right. No, look, it is not just a Democrat game. Republicans, you know, you go back to Bush versus Gore and the hanging chads. This is not new, but the concern for me is, regardless of who it's benefiting on any given election cycle, it needs to be rooted out as much as possible, and we need a better system in place to handle the investigative process and more accountability, I think, so that people have confidence. Because right now, I think, well, the last numbers I saw, and this was a couple weeks ago, 75% of Republicans thought there was election fraud, and a full third of Democrats thought there was election fraud.
Right.
So, I mean, hell, you've got half the country thinks that our system is not working properly. That does not bode well for future elections and citizen participation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So, let's move into predictions.
Not yet, man. You're going way too fast.
Okay. What do you want to talk about the past year?
No, well...
Do we want to talk about A. Jonas?
No, I want to talk about current events right now. Let's talk about the fact that for the first time in, close to 100 years, Times Square was shut down for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And yet you had Mayor de Blasio out there.
Well, that... From what I've seen...
Dancing with his wife on camera.
What I've seen, there was people there. Very limited.
Very limited.
But, you know... My thought is this,
yeah.
Right? What did that stop? You know what it did?
It didn't stop the mayor from dancing.
No, but what it did do is it brought people inside and further made it acceptable to do those things at home watching a screen versus doing it in person.
Yeah. Well, look, I've never been one that wanted to go sit in the midst of 50,000 people in a tightly packed, easily targeted event. Anyway, so it's no skin off my nose.
You don't think that'd be a good rush, bro?
No, I'm not interested at all. There's a lot of things I'd like to try before I die.
That's not one of them.
New Year's Eve in New York's Times Square is not one of them. But just the tone deafness of our government at the federal, state, and even local level, which a lot of times that we have to tread maybe a little cautiously because of your relationship in that area to local government. And I don't ever want to put you on a hot seat, but...
Oh, it's hot all the time, bro.
But at the federal and the state level, the tone deaf and the kind of let them eat cake attitude of our federal government. I shared with a friend recently, that's the same kind of mindset that led to the French Revolution. When you were sending, close to damn near $600 billion across the oceans to foreign countries to piss away on stuff like Pakistani gender studies or female involvement in the Afghani army, but you're not willing to alleviate some of the suffering for the American taxpayer. Do that kind of dismissiveness and tone deaf attitude is going to lead to violence.
Right. And I've tried to beat this drum at least for 10 years. Both sides agree with that. Both sides agree that, and this is one of the biggest problems with the system right now, is loading up anything that's remotely close to being for the American people with pork.
Yeah.
I mean, how many stimulus packages in Europe are we a part of?
It's a great question, and at this level, it goes back. You can't even argue this is a party issue. Like, you can't, if you're a Republican, you can't say those damn Democrats.
Right.
And if you're a Democrat, you can't say those rascally Republicans. This is a bipartisan craziness that goes back, at least in significant ways, back to the first banker or Wall Street bailout under George Bush, which kind of kick-started Obama's administration, and he felt compelled to continue those programs. And there will be blood in the streets, which is what Bush's advisors told him at the time, that, look, if you don't save the banking system and this all collapses, we'll crash down into the zombie apocalypse. And he bought the hype, and he gave trillions and trillions of dollars out for banker bailouts and the housing, over housing loans, and all kinds of crazy stuff, and pork. And this is an issue that, even before we started this podcast, I think you and I would have agreed on, man, whatever bill is brought before Congress and the president or is initiated ought to stand or fall on its own. This was the same kind of mindset that got the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, as it's properly known, through federal government, even though they didn't have time to read it. Nancy Pelosi said we have to pass it before we can see what's in it, which is insanity. But it was the level of pork that pushed senators over the edge, over the tipping point, to get them to vote yes. So they're using taxpayer dollars to buy off each other, oftentimes pushing policies that we don't like or don't want. Because when the Affordable Care Act passed, it was largely unpopular, even though people have normalized to it now. It was something like 78 or 82% of the American people said no thanks, and they pushed it through anyways on pork barrel spending. And I would argue that was a radical shift in how the U.S. government interacted with its citizenry, because for the first time in history, the federal government could compel you to purchase a product that you didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
And John Roberts, the turncoat rhino Supreme Court justice appointed by Bush, even said that in his contrary opinion right before he voted to pass it. Which, if that doesn't show you how corrupted the system is and how blackmailed or threatened even Supreme Court justices are, because I guarantee somebody had a picture of his grandkids through a rifle scope or something that they had something hanging over his head to cause him to vote contrary to the opinion he wrote the day before. I think unfortunately, we're going to see some stuff grow like that in this current year. And so with that, before we move forward into predictions, I want to talk about the RV bombing. You have any thoughts on that?
We got one question.
All right, let's see him.
Joe says, does Josh agree that Trump has at least brought out into the open the corruption of our government? Trump didn't bring that out. People see that. I don't think Trump exposed it. I think Trump showed that even the most quote unquote refusenik of presidents will still fall to it. I mean, he let the Patriot Act go through.
I know that's a big one for you, and it is for me too.
Name, other than cutting some funding to, let's say, the EPA, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are things he could have done with the stroke of a pen that he didn't.
Sure.
And like I said, where he was more of a hammer and obnoxious and making it look like, rah, 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 look at me, and he threw some stuff out there,
mm-hmm.
right? But he still had a different flavor of the bullshit as Obama. Well, he's just in a different direction. He said, I'm going to drain the swamp. He pulled the plug on this end, but filled it from this end.
And what do you mean by that?
Okay. Let's start with the Patriot Act and work our way down. Okay. How much deficit spending did he accumulate in 4 years?
Whoa. How dare you talk about fiscal conservatism?
Oh, you mean from
filthy rat?
You mean from a Republican?
How dare you? No, that's no longer in vogue, Josh, even with the Republican Party. George Bush Jr. clearly shifted that with his compassionate conservative mindset.
Yeah, but
we're
talking about Trump, though.
I know, but I want to rewind and talk about how we've gotten to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Bush spent more than anybody before him,
mm-hmm.
and the left freaked out. And then Obama spent more than even Bush, and the right freaked out.
Right.
And then Trump has continued that trend of spending us into oblivion,
mm-hmm.
and nobody freaks out anymore.
Right.
Because here's the reality, and this hints at what we're talking about next. They know the dollar has to collapse.
Right.
It has to. There's no way even our great-grandkids cannot pay back the amount of debt that this government has piled on us, mm-hmm. that is partially owned by foreign governments, but is mostly owned by our own future.
Right.
And they just keep cranking the printing press, this fiat currency that's not connected to anything in reality.
Mm.
And eventually that bubble will pop.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll be looking at a digital currency. But that's forecasting. Let's get back to Trump.
And the last phase of that is the corruption he spawned or put in place the pieces for it to continue. He nominated Supreme Court justices that believe they should have untethered access to your cell phone. And Bob Barr was a king as long as he agreed with Donald Trump. The minute he said things that Don didn't like, next thing you know, he's a bad guy.
So he blew his Supreme Court justice picks.
Yep.
He continued the surveillance state,
mm-hmm.
Which is criminal.
And filled the swamp with trillions of dollars. Yes, that's exactly what he did. Well, you can't sugarcoat that.
We have, I would say, we're not entirely opposite on our surveying of President Trump. I think there are slight differences between you and I, but I don't want to get stuck on this, to be honest, because the reality is he's going to fade into the annals of history. People have, you know, this incredible vision of him running again 4 years from now. It's not going to happen.
No. But we are going to have to put up with his three picks in the Supreme Court for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and I mean, could they have been worse? And this is my argument at the end of the day, is that we could have dealt with 4 years of Hillary,
mm-hmm.
and it would have been worse. Now, you could say maybe only marginally worse from your perspective, but it would have been worse. As far as Supreme Court picks, I mean, come on, dude.
I would say this. It would happen faster.
So instead of driving us off a cliff at 110, Trump does it at 55.
Right. We're going off the cliff regardless.
All right. Fair enough. You and I will probably always mildly disagree on that, but not enough to really stay here and camp on it.
Okay. What's next?
The truck bombing or RV bombing.
Yep.
Thoughts on that?
You know, we've been so long without an attack. I think that's why that sticks out so much. You know, we haven't had, there for a while, it was, especially under Obama, the quote-unquote domestic terrorist sort of kind of did their thing and operated. With the current president, I think people were so preoccupied. Because if you notice that when that bombing happened, there was very little coverage, which kind of struck me as odd, because politically motivated networks usually take something like that and they run with it.
Sure.
And most of the decent coverage that I've seen of it come from independent media.
Yeah, so what does that tell you about the event itself? Do you have any thoughts on it?
No. Look, if you don't think there's crazy people out there, I mean, maybe you need to get out of the house more.
Nothing conspiratorial.
Absolutely not. No. Like I said, if you want to talk about A. Jonas, because here's the thing. The reason I don't tolerate, or I don't want to say tolerate, I don't entertain that kind of discussion, is because it always happens at a national or government level, federal government level. Never happens at like... So if you could make an argument that it is a conspiracy theory at something other than a federal or national level, I'm all ears.
No, here's my thoughts on it. You know, I had my wife ask me a few days ago, while you're scanning comments, I'll give you my thoughts. My wife asked me what my thoughts were on it, and I said, look, I don't know that I have an official whodunit theory, but just like we all, like I always say to you on most of these events that could be infused with conspiracy. I always say, I don't know what the official, I don't know what the truth is, but I know the official story isn't it. Dude, come on, man. So just from the little bit that we know, you know, a 60-some-year-old computer programmer. Look, I'm a smart dude, I think. I think you're a pretty smart dude. I know a lot of smart people. I don't know anybody that's able to blow up an RV at that level. It's not like you can go get 5 tons of fertilizer anymore. You know, the days of Oklahoma City, you know, and it's not like the dude stuffed a rag in his gas tank and lit it. I don't want you to comment on that, because if you know how to blow one up, I don't want the government coming. I'm not going to touch.
Hold on.
That does not seem to be a skill set that most people have, especially 60-some-year-old computer programmers. And so over a holiday weekend, the FBI... God bless, you gotta love them. Magically finds DNA, determines there's no accomplices, and wraps up a case within over a holiday weekend, when we still don't have clear answers on the Las Vegas shooting.
Are you saying that you're skeptical of our civil servants?
I'm saying I'm very skeptical of the FBI, dude. The same government that ran COINTELPRO and
wait, we have a comment.
All right,
I can't pronounce his last name, but Matt says, "Wow. I'm a tad stunned at the moment," and I don't know what that is about.
Tell us what you're stunned about. It's probably Josh's lack of love for President Trump. But my point is, I don't have some, you know, I'm not tuned into some kind of secret information cabal that says, you know, no, it was...
You don't have CIA insiders?
No, unfortunately, I don't. But I'm going to tell you the official story ain't it. I just... Look, man, anybody with a mildly skeptical brain cannot believe that they wrapped up that investigation that fast and that there's no other people involved. Just seems like complete. I mean, it's so dumbed down and elementary that it's ignorant. The official explanation is ignorant.
Right.
What it really is, I don't know. I've seen conspiracy theories that, to be honest, I'm not interested in digging deep enough to find it out. I'm thankful nobody got hurt. In a major way. Nobody got killed anyways.
Right.
I think a few first responders got injured. So, but, you know, what a weird time to be alive, man.
We don't have anything yet. Maybe he's still typing. Anywho. Okay.
All right. And then a lot of times, too, to be honest, as I try to keep up with the comments, but here's what happens, though, is if you don't ever call in, Josh and I get to talking, and then if I want to focus on the comments, we have to have like 2 minutes of dead air time while we scroll back through and try to answer questions. So I know one thing's for sure, this damn microphone's interfering with the majesty of my beard.
Your what?
The majesty of my beard.
Your Corona Catcher 9000?
I'm going to name it. I've started a Facebook poll.
Yeah.
You know, White Lightning or Old Gray Beard. I don't know. I've got to come up with a Corona Catcher is not it.
Cut me off, please.
But this damn cut me off, please. I need like a shield. This microphone is catching my beard hairs. This is ridiculous. But what we'll do is we'll go back. You know, if you have questions, I always go back through and address or try to, you know, if you want to have a discussion in the comment thread.
That, and I'm going to throw the phone. I didn't do that at the beginning. I'm going to throw the phone number up there.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason somebody would have
if you want to call in, we've only ever had one person actually be bold enough to do it. Call in, you know, we'll have fun and you'll get to be on air to millions of listeners.
I don't know, but millions might be a stretch, bro.
Well, a couple at least. And that brings me back to what I said the last time. Look, even if you don't agree with everything that Josh and I say, and I know you won't, that's fine. But if you enjoy hearing us banter back and forth and discuss some of these interesting issues, and you find this of any value at all, please share it. You know, we have no illusions. I know this is not going to make us any money, and that's not really why we do it anyways. But it'd be nice to get some more interaction and get more feedback on our thoughts and what people, you know, contrary, even if you disagree, that's fine. Get on here and kind of box our ears.
I would much rather surround myself with people I disagree with than put myself in an echo chamber and hear the same thing over
absolutely.
And over again.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about that before. I remember one time I went to a George Bush rally. It was for his re-election. A buddy of mine was real rah-rah Republican, and I was too at the time, to be honest. I don't know that I would have made the effort to go to a rally, but he's like, look, man, I got tickets. We're going to go. And I'm like, okay. So we went up, and it was in Youngstown. He was Bush Jr. was running for re-election. And it was an outdoor standing rally, which, first off, if I can't sit comfortably with a cup of coffee, look, I'm not really interested. Matter of fact, I'm disappointed you ain't got no coffee here. So
we're working on it, bro.
Next time we'll figure it out. I want a Keurig right here.
Look at the chair you're sitting in, bro.
Oh, yeah, I can't bitch. Shows you how ungrateful I am. Dear God, this dude got me a sweet chair, and I'm enjoying it. Let me know if something changed in the audio quality, too, because I just lost something in my headphones. So if you're in the thread.
There, it's this right here.
Okay, we got it. All right, never mind. But no, I appreciate the chair. My mom said I need a ponytail holder. I know my buddy Jesse Wilson throws in pins and holders to keep his beard out of his tools when he's building houses and whatnots. But I don't even know what we were talking about. I got lost there. What were we discussing? I'd moved on from the bombing.
Oh,
anyway, share it, you know, get some interaction. Oh, at the George Bush rally.
Yeah.
And everybody I stood by, within 50 people out from me, were all parroting the same damn Rush Limbaugh talking points.
Right.
And dude, it reminded me of the NPC meme. Like, nobody had an original opinion. I'm like, God, this is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm with you. I want to hear, you know, differing opinions. Let's move to what we see going on in the future.
Okay. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
You go first. Let's hear it.
I don't know.
Is Corona going to magically go away, Josh?
Yes, it will. I guarantee you by August, something will enter the news cycle and we won't even hear about it. That's my prediction.
Hey, dude, you're crazy.
8 months.
Where do you get this shit from?
Huh? Because, dude.
I'm just going to call you out. What?
The vaccine's out, dude. We're cured. We are cured, dude.
I thought you were being serious. You're being sarcastic. I couldn't tell. You had me for a second. I'll give you that.
So, anyway, here's
spaz.
I've had a little bit of coffee today. Anywho, so if you paid attention in the news cycle, Tulsi Gabbard is moving forward with trying to repeal the Patriot Act.
Yes, good for her.
And I said this, gosh, when she was on Rogan with Jocko. If she shifts on healthcare and guns,
just a little bit even,
she gets elected.
Oh, yeah. She should have been their candidate.
Right. She's young.
Yes.
She is a veteran that's actually deployed to multiple combat zones.
Intelligent.
She's smart. She's pretty. She's electable.
Very. And just a little bit off on expanding the welfare state.
Yep.
Really, that's about it.
Right. And, you know, that makes her better than, well, you can't tell me that people in the Blue Hair Club are the two main pushes for president.
Well, now here, and I'm going to, let's talk about demographics because you just hit it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get me excited now. And so the reality is, I mean, I'm not trying to sound morbid, but the greatest generation is gone. The boomers are quickly approaching the jump to hyperspace.
Yep.
And as that shifts, our population pyramid, most population pyramids, there's a few old people, and then there's a few more old people,
mm-hmm.
then there's a lot more middle-aged people, and then there's a shit ton of young people.
Right.
Because the birth rates in a growing country are, you know, 2 to 3 to 4, whatever they are. In our country, for a number of years, it's been a reverse pyramid, which is why Social Security is always at risk of collapsing.
Right.
and funding our government. It's why they keep printing off on the printing press, too. Because it's a reverse population pyramid. You've got a lot of old people, seniors, and then you've got less middle age, and then the family structures have shrunk. So instead of 3, 4, 5 kids, you're having 1 or 2 kids, if that. And so as that plays out naturally, the natural process of people passing on, you're going to see the political wind shift really fast and really hard,
mm-hmm.
because that generation that has been a political restraint towards conservative principles and traditional values is going to be gone, and then there will be no more restrictor plate on the gas pedal of leftist policies.
Sure.
And so, but the blue hair, on both sides of the aisle, whether it's Bernie Sanders, whether it's, you know, sleepy, creepy Joe, whether it's loudmouth Trump, these kinds of candidates are going to disappear, and you're going to see both parties are going to have to offer up a Ted or a John F. Kennedy style, young, energetic,
mm-hmm.
passionate. It's going to change.
Yes.
It might be another 5 to 10 years out, but that's if our republic survives. So let's get back to serious.
So
prognosticating about Corona.
With going back to Tulsi Gabbard, she's going to make her move in politics this year.
Okay.
And she's going to make it in a big way.
Okay. All right.
That's my first prediction.
All right. Is Corona shrinking, staying about the same, or expanding?
Corona is shrinking. And on a more serious note, we will have something in the next year take its place. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
As far as media goes.
Oh, yeah. Well, and even as far as real health risk, I mean, I think we've talked at length about the true risk to the general population, even though people we know have passed from it,
mm-hmm.
Is still the mortality across the whole population is still relatively small.
Right.
And but I think you're right. We're going to see something, a Corona 2.0, you know, whether it's a man-made or whether it's a naturally evolving bastardization of Corona or another virus that kind of gets hyped up. But the bottom line is, whatever the name is in front of the virus, the government and media response on the tail end of the virus is going to be just as challenging and problematic for freedom and economic prosperity as the response has been for this one.
Mine's going to be completely different. Mine is going to be a social event.
What are you talking about?
I don't know how
we can even do a podcast.
I think Corona is going to go away because of something else, not another virus.
Interesting.
And that event may stem from a COVID event, but
so an event like what? Mass violence?
Yep.
Bombing?
Yep.
Terrorism?
Any of those.
No, look, I said this on a friend's thread on social media just within the last day, is that the reality is, let's be honest here. Let's say there's no fraud at all in this election, which we know is not true. Every election has
fraud.
At least a dash of some
right.
discrepancy, right? Let's say there was none in this election. You're still going to have 50 million right-leaning patriot people that are going to believe that they were disenfranchised. Right. Even if there wasn't any. I believe there was. You believe maybe not so much.
No, I believe there was. I just think...
You don't think it was one way.
No.
You think it's universal. Yeah. Fair enough. We disagree on that. What I think you and I will agree on is that there are going to be people who feel like the ballot box is no longer working.
Yep.
And when you remove the ballot box as an agent of change, the only thing left is the bullet box. And I don't want to see it, but I agree with you. I think crazy has already been here this last year. This new year is going to see, I think, a broad increase in violence.
Right. And here's where... I'm going to flip you a conspiratorial bone. That bombing was a warm-up. Just a hunch.
Yeah, even if you don't believe it's a false flag, even if you think it was real and organic and some 60-year-old computer programmer and they figured it all out in a weekend over a game of Clue, it's a sign, it's a harbinger of things to come. And so I know maybe some of you... Because, look, I want to believe this, too, and we probably should have opened up the podcast with this, but it might be a good closing. Some of us look into the new year because we're so – maybe we're worn out from the mask mandates, from the economic siege warfare that we're in, the medical martial law with the curfews and all this crazy shit. And some of us have lost, you know, we've lost loved ones or we've lost economically, we've lost politically. And so it's easy to have this escapist mindset that, man, there's a new number on the calendar. And so something is going to change and to put our hope in that turning of a day. And I hate to peel away the thin veneer of a new year away from you, but I'm here to tell you that you're not going to have hope in that. Mm-hmm. There's no hope in our government. There's no hope in our financial systems. There is not hope, I don't believe, long-term for this republic. I think for me personally, my hope is in God, my faith in Christ, holding dearly onto the loved ones that I still have and trying to make a difference where I can. But so I don't mean to be, and everybody that knows me knows I can be politically slightly jaded, very skeptical, and maybe mildly pessimistic. Mm-hmm. Fair. That is who I am. But I'm here to tell you, man, if you're hoping that things are, your outside circumstances are going to let up so you can catch your breath, they're not. So you have to find a way. I don't know what it's going to be for you. If it's not your faith, meditation, a hobby, you're going to have to find something that brings you some peace because you're not going to get the external relief that you're hoping for. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm seeing in the next year.
I think you're going to see that party dismantle itself. That's sort of...
What party?
Huh? That progressive version of what's elected. Because the DNC didn't let Bernie run, and he was the clear front runner.
But, well, last two election cycles.
Yeah. So when you look at who's controlling that party... When it's not the people that get the positions, and you have, you know, say a Tulsi Gabbard, who's sort of a maverick in a sense in within the party. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, certain parties expose themselves more in fraud than others. I mean, you've seen it a lot with Clinton, you know, and others. But I have a feeling, well, something we've both agreed on. Probably by the end of the first year, Kamala is going to be president.
Yes, I originally said 6 to 9 months.
If not the first year, for sure the second. Joe, he's just, I mean, he's a mess.
So you think they're going to jump the shark, they're going to push too hard, and you're going to see a hard swing back towards conservatism in the Republican Party?
Yep.
I think that's naive.
I think it's going to happen, and it's going to happen from them. It's not going to happen from the conservative party.
Interesting. I don't know, man. I just I have a deep, unsettled feeling about what this year holds. I think we're going to face deeper economic challenges. Because here's the reality: you know, the vaccine is out now. They're saying that look, the vaccine is not going to lift the lockdowns. The vaccine is not going to lift mask mandates. You're going to see people continue to struggle with mental health. Mm. You're going to see people continue to struggle with wanting relief. Unfortunately, you're seeing self-harm climb. You're seeing divorce climb. You're seeing abuse. I don't see any of these cultural trends getting better in this year. So you're going to have to find a way to make it better in your own heart and mind, in your own family unit, doing the best that you can. That's my thoughts on it.
Let's see. Everything he's saying shows that the Republic is already dead. When you can rattle off a litany of tyrannical issues that are currently happening and there is zero action against it now, the Republic, the representative Republic, is dead.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm basically saying, yeah.
Well,
and it's heartbreaking to me. I know people that still, I had this kind of, not to sound cliche, but this kind of come to Jesus moment, I'm going to say about 3 years ago, that I would have to put my hope and my faith in my faith, because I saw it a few years back that this Republic was sputtering towards an end, in my opinion, like the collapse of Rome or any other great civilization, when the lawmakers can live lawlessly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When a bureaucrat tells you not to celebrate the holidays and then goes to Mexico. There is a greater and greater divide between the people who are supposed to be representing us and the struggles of the man on the street, which, look, that was the initial impetus for the Occupy movement, Occupy Wall Street, before it got steered off into crazy land, is that people have had enough. And that's what I'm telling you, man. And I think you agree, is that the violence that we see in an isolated situation of an RV bombing, which almost reminded me of Lampoon's Vacation. Remember the line that Cousin Eddie delivers? He goes, "Shitter's full." And then he blows up the sewer system because somebody drops a cigarette down there. But that's the first thing I thought of when he said it was an RV. I'm like, man, somebody really was not happy about their Christmas bonus.
Right.
Old Clark Griswold decided he'd had enough. But no, that is my great concern for my children and my grandchildren, is that and we've talked about this, damn near every podcast, is that the America that we grew up in is not what's going to be handed over to our kids.
Absolutely.
We're already moderately, not even mildly, moderately socialistic, which is why Trump's, parroting of, well, Biden's a socialist, that was never going to gain him any traction in the election. That was an absurd campaign strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely absurd. We're already socialist.
Yeah.
The only difference is, are you going to send all that money to foreign governments, or are you going to roll it back to us in some kind of basic income?
Right.
Which is what they're trying to kind of mentally prepare us for.
Right.
But no, I don't see hope in the system. And I think that lack of hope is going to cause reasonable people, and the immortal words of the old killdozer, it's going to cause reasonable people to do unreasonable things.
Yeah. On a lighter note.
Let's hear it.
A coworker says, "We work with Cousin Eddie."
That's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Interesting. I always say, when we tell stories about coworkers, I'm like, yeah, that dude's a character.
we have, I'm going to quickly here, within a short period of time, have a certain hat.
Okay.
And that, all I'm going to say is, that hat fits with this side of the table.
Okay.
And a coworker, he wears one pretty much daily when it's cold.
All right.
And we'll leave it at that.
And I'll bring one in that's tin foil. Because, I love a good conspiracy theory.
I couldn't tell.
I know most people are probably disappointed I don't have a real good one for the RV bombing. I don't. I just know that the official story ain't it.
Right.
But you want to talk about Bigfoot?
No.
Okay, maybe next time. UFOs?
No. I want your prediction. What's the big thing that you're going to see this coming year?
Well, it's a handful. I think we're going to see it's a grind. It's a deeper grind than last year. It's everything that we don't like about 2020 is going to be amplified. You're going to see financial struggle.
Mm.
The economy is going to struggle hard. And they're already prepping you for it by saying it's not Biden's fault. He's dealing with the hole that Trump dug. Okay, maybe legit criticism, maybe not.
Right.
But they're mentally prepping you that this coming year is going to suck financially. So you're going to see financial suck. You're going to see continued wearing down through the virus and the mask and the vaccine mandates. The EEOC, which is a unit or office of the federal government has already said your employer can mandate vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have time to jump into that craziness. very few hills I'm willing to die on, but you will not force something into my body as a condition of employment. There's no way in hell.
Right.
So I think everything that we don't like about 2020 gets bigger in 2021, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the easiest way I could sum it up.
What's your thoughts on what's going to happen with the stimulus package?
When all is said and done, they're going to push a stimulus package through, and probably this probably will not be the last one. I mean, they already got $600 some odd checks, you know, in the mail or digitally processed.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot more graft and corruption and pork, and it's not going to change.
Right.
I don't see how it, you know, I mean, the will of the people is no longer being represented. And I think we are living in as historic, and I said this last time, as historic times as we've ever seen as a country, probably since 1776 or the Civil War.
I would agree with that.
I mean, Yep. We are in that big of an era in American and global history.
Hmm. So let's talk about the next show.
Okay.
Let's wind things. We've been on for almost an hour.
Yeah, that tends to be our
mantra.
Yeah, our modus operandi. I'm on afternoons. Let's aim for Sunday work for you.
So long as it's afternoon.
Okay, we're going to be back next Sunday then. And what are we going to talk about, Josh?
One, I think we should revisit some form of prepping. And two,
yeah, we need to dig into that.
I have that partial handmade MRE that I'm going to get another.
Well, if you're going to get another, let's dig into something right now and eat something. I'm hungry.
I'll hook you up with that one, and I'll get two more. Okay. I ate the good stuff out of it.
Damn it.
It was well. This was pre December 19th, and oh, yeah. when Kristen and I went on the hike, we borrowed from it. Very well put together, by the way.
All right, so we're gonna revisiting mm-hmm. or revisit prepping and don't let that excuse me, don't let that term intimidate you. You know, our grandparents and maybe some of your parents, grandparents, great grandparents, depending on your age, that came through the Depression were preppers
right.
once they got through the other side.
Yep.
You know, they either had a fruit cellar or they had canned goods put up or they had a food pantry. These are not, you don't have to think that we're going to talk about living off the
bunkers
grid
and
building a grass hut out in the woods. I mean, it's, and it doesn't have to be a consuming part of a lifestyle either. It can be something as simple.
Very passive.
As a couple, yeah, and slow rolling and just as simple as having some canned goods and spare toilet paper. If 2020 taught us anything, it's how quickly,
mm-hmm.
you know, not to get stuck on the goofiness of a run on toilet paper, but how quickly the supply can dry up of essential goods and services coming, I think. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, maybe water security, food storage, the sexy side of prepping, which is always guns and ammo. We'll have something to say about that because I'm a gun sure. guy, and you are too.
Are you really?
Yeah. And so, and I still live by my statement earlier on Facebook that Springfield is like a fancy version of High Point.
Okay, what brought that on?
I was talking about it at work. That's a long story. My buddy Joe, that's been gracious enough to tune in over the last several podcasts, is a Springfield lover, and I love boxing his ears. You know what did it is I taught an individual concealed carry class Tuesday, and the female shooter that I taught had a Springfield. And what really, really pissed me off, I don't like grip safeties in general, and Springfield is famous for them, like a 1911. But you couldn't even rack the slide on the gun unless the grip safety was depressed. To me, that's ignorant engineering. So I'm on a Springfield hater spree right now.
Eric says, when are you going to have show guest?
You know, we've talked about that. That's a great question. I appreciate you tuning in because there are times where Eric and I agree passionately on a lot of stuff. And then there's some issues that we're like, dude, what are you talking about? And so I appreciate you tuning in and kind of tracking with us even when there are differences politically. That's a great question. We need to think about it, that we have some restraints with our equipment set up. We've joked about an ongoing guest that's kind of a deep state plant that we have that feeds us information from time to time.
Right.
We've talked about having him on. But here's the thing, you know, if nobody's even willing to call in the show, to me it shows there's not a whole lot of motivation to come on the show either.
I would say this. You could call in via Skype and your video would be up.
Yeah, if you know how to do that. I'm sure Josh can figure that out. But yeah, if you want to call in on Skype and beyond, it doesn't even have to be the whole damn show. You want to be on for a couple minutes and say, hey, mm-hmm. take us to task on something. Or, you know, call in and agree or take it in a different direction.
I'm going to put the contact information up there. If you want to be on the show in person, shoot me an email, a text. We'll figure something out.
Or if you want to be on Skype. And next week's an easy one because you can just ask some general questions about prepping or what our thoughts are about different types of food storage or, you know, what's the best gun. If you can only afford one, what would the best gun be to have for survival? We love talking about this stuff. And I think we're heading into an area or an era where self-sufficiency is going to become more and more important.
Yes. Well, I think there are going to be huge gaps in things that you need that you won't be able to get.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, I don't think, you know, it's not like World War Z. I'm not saying it's all going to fall apart and overnight. And, you know, a month from now, we're looking at the collapse of Western Civ. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that as these viruses, almost like an earthquake, I think you're going to have kind of these big shocking moments, like Josh pointed to, whether it's domestic terrorism, whether it's financial, you know, struggles in the market or collapse, whether it's amplified viruses that kind of knock us back on our heels again. You're going to have these events that roll out, I think, in faster succession mm-hmm. with greater amplitude that are going to cause disruptions in the comforts and conveniences of daily life and the supply lines that we all count on to get the stuff that we like. So,
anywho.
Great topic for next time.
That will be next Sunday. Do we want to set an actual time?
Yeah, let's go at 6 o'clock again. We'll be on next Sunday at 6.
Sunday at 6? Sunday
at 6. And we hope to see you guys there. You give us a call or come on the show. And we look forward to having you guys back. Thanks for joining us. I hope you found it entertaining. We'll deal with some questions offline as we see them and we wrap up the broadcast. And you guys stay safe and hopefully healthy in the new year.
Until next time, stay sharp, keep a tight shot group, rock on.